Hello and welcome to Feel Good with Jo, your Friday guide to leading a happy and healthy life. And as you know, each show I interview somebody for their tips and techniques on managing the busy lives that we have and being happy. And today I'm really excited to have with me one of my newer connections in my life, who is a beautiful Australian artist called Tara Winona. Welcome, Tara.
Hi, Jo. Thank you.
So pleased to have you here. I'm really glad you could join us. And so, Tara, tell us about your... Let's start with your art. So tell us about your art.
My art. I paint a variety of subjects. I do experimental watercolour techniques with birds. And the idea behind them is to capture the essence and the feeling of that bird. And I abstract them quite a lot. I also do a series of trees of life that I'm playing with at the moment. I'm currently fighting with one painting I've repainted twice. It's very, very difficult. Art is not relaxing, actually. It's wonderful, but it's not relaxing.
So maybe not a stress relief. Okay. And how did you start?
Well, my story, it's got a funny beginning, and it began in Paris. For years, I've done sound and light shows, and I was working in France for a long time. And I was knocked flying by a policeman who was riding on a scooter who didn't stop at some traffic lights for pedestrians. And he broke my pelvis quite severely and gave me other injuries, and I couldn't walk for many months. And at that time, I had been planning to move back to Australia, and I was thinking, well, sound and lights and events, they're wonderful, but quite stressful, and I'd like a change.
Right.
So I got provided with a change in that I couldn't do anything and I couldn't right. move. And we're getting to the art bit, don't worry. So in that time, I was then rung up and asked to do a show in China. And I thought, well, I'm still broken, but I'm going to go. So I went and I had a golf buggy and people to sort of help me around with my little broken pelvis. And there was a lovely chap there who was an English chap, and we fell in love accidentally. And so my great plan, 6 weeks before leaving to go back to Australia, mm-hmm. I moved to England. And a few weeks after moving to England, I was at a barbecue with some of his friends, and his best friend said to me, "Well, how do you like London?" I said, "It's great, but darling, what I need is a studio with river views." Thinking, well, they don't exist, and if they did, I wouldn't be able to afford them.
Right.
Anyway, she Googled it that night and found a studio with river views that was a 20-minute cycle ride down a canal from my house. And so I began painting. And the reason for telling also the story of being knocked flying is, you know, it was a realization that I could have been dead. And instead I was painting, and it was wonderful. So it was an affirmation of life.
But why painting? Why was that the thing? Because you could have been, you know, nearly dead, and something else was the thing that came.
I've always been an artist, really. I've been an unrequited artist. So I was working in sound and lights for years, and I was creating and drawing for that. So, and I thought that was my art, and that was my passion, and I lived it for years. But there was always a part of me that was unhappy. And I thought, God, you know, I didn't know what it was. I did counselling. I did Reiki. I did lots of self-awareness things. And I never quite discovered what it was. And then I got this studio and I began to paint again. And I was suddenly happy. And I figured out the missing piece. So I think the painting had always been inside me. And it was part of my soul's calling in a way. And so I expressed myself how I was meant to, I think.
Yeah. Well, and your work is beautiful, what I've seen of it. And I'm so excited because after this, I'm actually going to Tara's studio to see more in person, which is just brilliant. But what I take from that is it's something that will resonate with so many people, this feeling of you can have the most fantastic life in terms of it can be very well set up. You can have done mm-hmm. all the so-called right things. So, you know, you've worked hard at school, you've gone to university, or all the things that we're expected to do. Maybe you've traveled, maybe you've got a good job, maybe you've got a fantastic partner, maybe you've got children, and it can still feel like, what's wrong with me?
Something's missing.
Yeah, I don't feel right. I'm not happy. And so that's the bit that really interests me for us here for this show is, you know, that process of just going, okay, so let's be honest about that. And so how much was it a thought process, and how much did it just come out of your mouth that what you really needed was a studio?
Years before, I'd had quite a challenging time because the world of events is not that stable.
Right.
And I'd had a period where I'd changed countries again, and I was really questioning what I was doing. And I thought, you know what I need to do is get a studio on the river somewhere in the world. And I'd written a wish list.
Right.
And 10 years later, when I got my studio, I discovered that wish list. It fell out of an old sketchbook. So I think in some ways it was something I had thought about, but if life hadn't provided me with a shock,
yeah,
which was my accident to wake up, and the opportunity that there was a river studio,
yeah,
I might not have explored that. I might have actually gone back to Australia and continued doing, you know, lighting and lasers and events, yeah, and creating in that way. I think I was extraordinarily lucky, really.
Well, and it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I don't know how much it's luck, because it maybe that is an element of it. But actually, this is what I find I can really rely on in my life, is those moments when from somewhere really deep and often almost unknowable in myself, I find myself opening my mouth and saying, yes, what I really want is. And it always makes me chuckle to sort of tell this story now, because this is one of the things that I really wanted. Uh-huh. So a couple of years ago, it was January. I was looking back on my previous year's work. I adore what I do. I have more than one business and I love them all. And I was sort of thinking to myself as I got out of the shower, what did I really love about last year that I want to do more of? And I thought, well, actually, I really loved the radio work that I did, where I'd been a guest on various radio programs. And that's what I want to do more of. I want to do more radio. And that was the week that Sam, the previous Mind, Body, Spirit presenter, had moved to New Zealand. And Graham got in contact and said, actually, we're looking for somebody to take over. Would you be interested?
Wow.
And so it was that same sort of just the power of saying something that comes from a very sort of true deep place in yourself that wasn't a thought through process. It was conscious, but it wasn't a thought through process. I've had that happen a lot in my life, and it comes out of daring.
Yes.
You know, daring, yes, to really look and daring to really ask yourself what genuinely matters to me. What's missing?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. When I first got my studio, I was in this brand new relationship and a new country again, and thinking, oh, I'm mad, I should be back in Australia, but this is wonderful. I painted a series of three paintings to give myself courage, which links into what you were saying. And the most important one for me was a leap of faith, and it shows a little redheaded girl, because I'm a redhead, stepping off a cliff blindfolded, because that's what I felt like I was doing. And I said, I'm insane. What am I doing? I should go home to Australia. I mean, what if it doesn't work with this man? Or what if, what am I, all my money's going into this studio and art supplies? I'm bonkers. And then I painted the next one in this, which was after the leap of faith, which I called Fly.
Yes.
And it's a little girl flying happily, and she's thrown the blindfold off. And I thought, I didn't know it was a triptych then. And I was like, there's one at the beginning. And it became Listen, which is the same little redheaded girl. And she's looking into this pool of water and reaching out with her finger to touch the water. And in there is her reflection. And her reflection is looking sort of happy and has crazy wild red hair. And for me, that was, you know, the inside me was going, it's going to be great, let's do it. And the outside scared me was going, oh, should be sensible. I'm never sensible. I should do, you know, I've got to grow up. What am I doing?
Yeah.
So that's it. It's taking that leap of faith. It's so important. It's so scary.
But I also love the description of the process, because what you describe there is something that I might do with a coaching client, maybe not with painting, but we might do this through letters. So I do a lot of letter work in my coaching, where I'll give an example for myself, where I, at 16, really knew who I was.
Wow.
And it's so interesting, because there's an awful lot of 16-year-olds who don't know who they are. And that's, you know, that's what's exciting about being 16. The world is new. I was somebody who knew exactly what I wanted for my life. And then convention and the desire to do well and the desire to please sort of came and got on top of my shoulders. And I went and did a university degree and I got a job, and so it went on. And I was doing all the, as I said earlier, the so-called right things, but I wasn't happy. Mm. And one of the things that I did was recognize that my 16-year-old self knew what she was doing. And she was really vital and she was really happy. And I wrote to her as an adult. I wrote to her and I said, okay, so it's not working as I thought it was going to. I'm not as happy as I thought I was going to be. Kind of, what's your advice? And then you write back to yourself from that period of time when you were really expressing yourself, where you were really essentially you. Mm. And I think the key was, at 16, I didn't give a monkeys what anybody else
thought.
You were
fearless.
And I think, you know, in a way, I suppose things hadn't started to knock me. That reality of being an adult and having to make your way hadn't really got real yet.
Yeah, it's limitless, isn't it, when you're 16? It's wonderful. Yeah.
And so then the process was write back and have the suggestions from the 16-year-old, and actually the encouragement and the pride, which was incredible. And then just keep that dialogue going so that I could integrate the 16-year-old into, I think I was about 30 at the time, into the 30-year-old. So that process of talking with the part of yourself that knows what makes me happy is really important. And you've described doing it in a way through art. And for me, it was through letters, because that's, you know, I've always been a writer more than a visual artist. Mm. But I think it's something that people can do very simply for themselves, because another way of doing it would be to look at objects that hold real meaning for you, and what is it about the object that holds real meaning, you know, and then from there you can begin to extrapolate, actually this, let's say freedom, this represents freedom, and freedom is really important. So anyway, back to you.
it brought to mind something that I'd love to share. A friend of mine, years ago, when I was going through this quite big crisis in my life, said to me, well, Tara, you just have to do the 16 steps to happiness.
Oh, nice. What are they?
What on earth is that? And he said, well, you just simply, at the end, the 16th step, write what you want.
Okay.
And as the first step, write where you are.
Right.
And then fill in all the bits and follow the steps and you'll get there.
Nice.
Actually,
homework, everybody.
It was brilliant. And it took me many years to get there. But I do think that I went on that journey.
Yeah.
It did. And, of course, my 16th step was something a lot more general, really. It didn't say a studio on the river painting, but it was like a feeling. I want to feel like this. I want to be like this. And that was really essential.
Yeah. And I think that's actually a very useful point, because we don't necessarily know what the end picture is going to be and the precise details of it, but we do tend to know how I want to feel. You know, do I want to feel spacious? Do I want to feel held? Do I want adventure, or do I want structure? You know, those sorts of balances is something that we do have a sense of. So I want to know how would you encourage people, because I've sort of given a few ideas, but I'd love to know what you would encourage people to do to find that part of themselves, to give it a voice, to, you know?
I think the most important thing is to create the space.
Okay.
It might not be that you can find a studio on a river.
Sure.
But you could probably find a table in your house and sort of make it your special zone. And I think just begin, especially for those artists out there like me who for many years weren't sure about their painting or didn't do it for a long time.
Yeah.
Just begin. Just practice. It doesn't matter. Make mistakes. I mean, when we finish here, after you visit my studio, I'm going back to my mistake. To keep painting it. And what a wonderful journey, you know?
Yes, yes. Well, in fact, I wanted to, that's a brilliant place to finish, because I wanted to ask you, what is a Tree of Life painting? Because that may not mean anything to people. And if that's what you're going back to, tell us about it for a moment.
My Tree of Life painting, it's a tree made from the bodies of people. And my idea is that we're all connected, and we all become who we are through the help of others and through us helping others. And so there are sort of more mature people perhaps at the bottom of the tree holding the base, and then sort of they get lighter as they go up. And it's that reaching for the sky. It's reaching for our dreams. And it's also helping each other in that process. it's a connection for me. It's, and also I just think it's such a beautiful image. I was concepting a musical that was going to go in China, and I drew the storyboard and came up with it. I was like, oh, it's a painting. I'm still struggling with how the painting will end up. Yes.
Yeah. And so just to finish then, it brings us back to what we were talking about in my last show with Holly. Holly Bantleman of Raise the Roof Kenya. We were talking about the pursuit of happiness through the pursuit of pleasure, through the pursuit of engagement and the pursuit of meaning. And it's really the combination of the engagement and meaning that you're talking about there, because the engagement part is the belonging, the being together, the helping each other, being part of a family, a community, a friendship circle, and growing together and doing things in the world together. And then the meaning bit is the life of purpose. You know, what's it all for?
To fulfill our deepest potential. And I think also what's really vital is to understand what each of our soul's calling is, and to paint it or dance it or sing it or raise the roof in Kenya or
right.
You know, that's what's really vital, I think, to happiness, is to find out what your soul's calling is.
Well, what a perfect place to leave it. Thank you so much, Tara. It's been a real pleasure.
Thanks, Joe. Thank you so much.
So if anybody wants to find out more about Tara's work and, in fact, view some of her beautiful paintings, you just need to go to tarawinona.com. So that's Tara, T-A-R-A, Winona, W-I-N-O-N-A.com. And so I look forward to talking with you again, Feel Good with Joe, in 2 weeks' time with Kate Siraj, who's an Ayurvedic practitioner whom we've actually had on this show before, and we're going to follow up some of the things that we just did as a teaser last time. So see you next time. Brooklyn's Radio.